بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the chapter of the Hajj and the Umrah, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed. And the author, rahimahullah, he said, رَوَى هَمَام ibn يَحْيَى عَنْ قَتَادَ قَالْ. That Hammam ibn Yahya narrated that Qatada said, قُلْتُ لِأَنَسْ. I asked Anas, كَمْ حَجَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ حَجَّةِ. How many times did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم perform Hajj? قال حَجَّةً وَاحِدًا. He only performed one Hajj. The author said, وَاعْتَمَرَ أَرْبَعَ عُمَرَاتٍ. وَاعْتَمَرَ أَرْبَعَ عُمَرَاتٍ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he performed Umrah four times. So he only did one Hajj in his lifetime and he performed four sets of Umrah. Umrah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahina saddahu al-mushrikun an al-bayt. Firstly, the Umrah which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did when the mushrikun of Quraysh prevented the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Kaaba. Wal Umrah thaniya, and then the second Umrah, حيث صالحوه من العام المقبل, when they allowed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the following year to perform Umrah. وعمره من الجعرانه حيث قسم غنيمه الحنين في ذي القعده. And then the third Umrah was in or from al-Ji'rana, where he distributed the war booty, i.e. from the battle of Hunain. And then finally, وَعُمْرَتُهُ مَعَ حَجَّتِهِ, and the final Umrah which he did with the Hajj which he did. And this is hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. And then the author mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with regards to the one Hajj he made, then this was the Hajj which he made after he migrated to Al-Madinah. And then the author said, وَالَّذِي حَجَّ حَجَّةُ الْوِدَاعِ. And the one Hajj which he made, it was called حَجَّةُ الْوِدَاعِ. And the meaning of Al-Wida' is farewell. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَدَّعَ النَّاسَ فِيهَا. Because in this final Hajj which he made, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said farewell to the people. Because he said to the people, عَسَى أَلَّا تَرَوْنِي بَعْدَ عَامِ هَذَا. He said, perhaps you will not see me after this year. So this last Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is known as Hajjatul Wida', the farewell Hajj. Because in this Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bowed farewell to the people. The author mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he only did a single Hajj, which was Hajjatul Wida'. However, in the Sahihain, it has been established that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also did one or two Hajj whilst he was in Mecca before prophethood. Because as you know, the Arabs, even before Islam came to Mecca, meaning in the times of Jahiliyyah, they still had something called Hajj. So there were certain acts of worship that they used to do even before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these acts of worship remained with them from the previous prophets and messengers, like for example Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Hajj was one of those acts of worship. So even before the coming of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in days of Jahiliyyah, there was still a form of Hajj. Of course, around the Kaaba were idols, and maybe these should differ with what we do today, but generally speaking, the Hajj was still there. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in Jahiliyyah, in times of Jahiliyyah, meaning before he was a prophet, in that era of Jahiliyyah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did do Hajj one or two times. But this was before prophethood. And Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari Muslim, he said, أَضْلَلْتُ بَعِيرًا لِي, that one day I lost a camel of mine. فَذَهَبْتُ أَطْلُبُهُ يَوْمَ عَرَفَةً, and I went to search for the lost camel on the day of Arafah, i.e. in the days of Hajj. This is before he was a Muslim. He said, فَرَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَاقِفًا بِعَرَفَةً, and I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was standing in the plains of Arafah. فَقُلْتُ, and then I said, هَذَا وَاللَّهِ مِنَ الْحُمْسِ, that this man, أي Muhammad, because at that time Muhammad wasn't a prophet and a messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also Jubair was not a Muslim. So he said, by Allah, this man, he's from Al-Humz. فَمَا شَأْنُهُ هَاهُنَا, so what is he doing in Arafah? And in a narration, فَمَالَهُ خَرَجَ مِنَ الْحَرَمِ, why has this man left Haram? Meaning, why has he left the Haram of Mecca, the Kaaba, and why has he come to Arafah? Jubair said regarding the Prophet, and at that time he wasn't a Prophet, he said, هَذَا وَاللَّهِ مِنَ الْحُمْسِ, that this man, Ayy Muhammad, by Allah, he's from Al-Humz. So why is he in Arafah? What does he have to do in Arafah? And the ulama, they mentioned the meaning of this statement, that this man is from Al-Humz, why is he in Arafah? They said that the meaning of Al-Humz is Al-Shadeed ala Deenihi, the one who is diligent upon his religion. And Quraysh, the tribe Quraysh, they were known as Al-Humz. So the Quraysh, they were called Al-Humz because they were diligent upon a way. And what does that mean? That because they had been given the custodianship of the Kaaba, they used to consider themselves more worthy than the other tribes. Because during the days of Hajj, tribes from all over Arabia used to come, because it was still part of the legislation from the previous prophets and messengers. Something of that remained with them. So the previous tribes, so the other tribes around the Arabian Peninsula, all of them used to come to make Hajj. And the Quraysh, they used to see them, they used to see themselves higher than everybody else. And the scholars mentioned that it was as if Shaitan had deceived them, and he said to them, إِنَّكُمْ إِنْ عَظَّمْتُمْ غَيْرَ حَرَمِكُمْ إِسْتَخَفَّ النَّاسِ بِحَرَمِكُمْ, that if you, O Quraysh, and you are custodians of the Haram, if you start attaching importance to the other areas like Arafah, then people are going to belittle your Haram. فَكَانُوا لَا يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْحَرَمِ, so the Quraysh, they never used to leave the Haram. So basically their Hajj was only the immediate area around Al-Haram and Muzdalifah. As for Arafah, the other tribes would go to Arafah, but the Quraysh, they used to see themselves above this. The way the Quraysh, we are Al-Humz, we have our own way, we have our own Haram. And if we go out to those places, then people are going to belittle our Haram, our sacred place. And so when Jubair, when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before prophethood in Arafah, this wasn't normal. That this man's from the Quraysh, he's from Al-Humz, that was the nickname of the Quraysh, and the Quraysh don't go to Arafah. They stay in the Haram area because they belittle Arafah and they belittle the rest of the tribes. Meaning Arafah is for you people, as for us, we are the custodians of the Haram, of the Kaaba, and the area surrounding the Kaaba. And they used to say, نَحْنُ الْحُمْس, that we are الْحُمْس. نَحْنُ أَهْلُ اللَّهِ, we are the people of Allah. لَا نَخْرُجُ مِنَ الْحَرَمِ, we're not going to leave the Haram area. Arafah is for the other tribes who are lesser than us. And this is why then later on when Islam came, of course all the other tribes used to go to Arafah apart from the Quraysh. And then what did Allah say in the Quran? ثُمَّ أَفِيضُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ, Allah then ordered everybody and depart from where everybody else departs from. Allah told the people, all the Muslims, Whether you're from the Quraysh or not, all of you need to depart from Arafah, where the other people are departing from. Wastaghfirullah and seek the forgiveness of Allah. Inna Allah ghafur rahim. And later on, when Jubair ibn Mut'im became a Muslim, he realized that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, before prophethood, going to Arafah, when this was against the norms of his own people, the Quraysh, al-Hums, this must have been tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentions in the narration, he said, رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَقِفُ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ مَعَ النَّاسِ بِعَرَفَةِ, that I saw the messenger in Jahiliyyah, before prophethood. And he was with the rest of the tribes standing in Arafah, in the lands of Arafah. ثُمَّ يُصْبِحُ مَعَ قَوْمِهِ بِالْمُزْدَلِفَةِ, and then when the morning came, then he would be with his people in Muzdalifah. And then he would stop with them as well. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمْتُ, and then later on when I accepted Islam, أَعْلِمْتُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ وَفَّقَهُ لِذَلِكَ, I understood that Allah had guided him to that. Without the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam knowing, Allah had guided him to this. And all of these small minor details, the reason why they are mentioned is because even before the Prophet became a prophet, there were certain indicators by which Allah was preparing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam for prophecy. So for example, Allah guided him to truthfulness. He never used to cheat, he never used to lie. So when prophethood comes to him, nobody can say, oh, but this man's a liar anyway. They all knew he was truthful. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was protected from ever doing shirk, even before prophethood. And that's why in the hadith of Anas, I think, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that my hand has never touched an idol. Just tawfiq from Allah, even before prophethood. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, naturally, alcohol was repulsive to him. And once or twice, when he wanted to partake with what the youth were doing in Mecca, then he went into a state of being unconscious. And this happened twice. And then the narration mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he woke up because of the heat which was on his face from the sun. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was near the outskirts of Mecca because he used to raise and cultivate cattle and sheep. And then he heard and saw the Shabab of Quraysh, how they were sitting in the evenings and they were enjoying themselves. And this is when the Prophet was young, before prophethood. And so he wanted to go towards them. And then all of a sudden, he fell into this sleep. And this happened twice. Then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never wanted to do anything with the rest of the Quraysh. So the point is that even before prophethood, there were certain indicators that this man is different from the rest of the people. All of the Quraysh do not go to Arafah, but this man goes to Arafah. Why? Just guidance from Allah, something which Allah led him to. So this is with regards to his Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did do one or two additional Hajj on top of Hajjatul Wida', but this was before prophethood, and that's why it isn't mentioned a lot. With regards to the number of times the Prophet did Umrah, the author mentioned that four times the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did Umrah. And all of these four Umrah which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did was after making Hijrah to Al-Medina. In reality, they aren't four, they two. Because the first Umrah was in the sixth year of Hijrah. And this was during the time of Al-Hudaybiyah. If you remember the story of Sulh Al-Hudaybiyah, the treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah, that is that in the sixth year of Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with a number of people, they went peacefully to Mecca just to go do Umrah. And the Quraysh, they stopped them outside of Mecca in a place called Al-Hudaybiyah. And the Quraysh, they refused entry for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims to come and do Umrah. And then they had an agreement with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the agreement was that this year you're not allowed to do Umrah. You have to go back to Al-Madinah. And then next year you can come back and you can do Umrah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left Hudaybiyah and he never entered in. He didn't do Umrah. He left Hudaybiyah and he didn't do Umrah. And he was in a state of ihram. He came out of his ihram and he slaughtered his animal, and then he returned back to Al-Madinah. And that's what Allah referred to in the Quran. Allah said, "Humu al-ladina kafaru." Those are the people who disbelieved. "Wasaddukum anil masjid al-haram," and they prevented you from Al-Masjid al-Haram, i.e. from Umrah. So really the first Umrah which the author mentioned, that doesn't count. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't complete the first Umrah. The second Umrah was the following year, which was in accordance to the treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. So in the seventh year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with 700 Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam returned back and did Umrah according to the terms of the treaties. And this was called Umratul Qadiyah. As for the fourth Umrah, but it's the third one because the first one doesn't count, then this was the Umrah which the Prophet did with his Hajj. Because as you know, when you do Hajj, you first do Umrah, then you come out of the state of Ihram, and then you do Hajj from the eighth day of the Hijjah onwards. So that Umrah really counts as part of his Hajj. And this is called Hajjul Qarin, or Al-Qiran, when Hajj and Umrah is done together in the days of Hajj. Ala kulli hal, the main Hajj which is discussed is Hajjatul Wida', the final farewell pilgrimage which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed. And this was in the 10th year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning in the same year which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. And this is why it is called the farewell pilgrimage. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to say to the people, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, take your rituals of Hajj from me, فَعَسَىٰ أَلَّا تَرَوْنِي بَعْدَ عَامِي هَذَا, because perhaps you will not see me after this year again. And subhanallah, كَذَلِكَ كَان, this is how it was. This was the last Hajj which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. This occurred in the last year of his blessed life. After the Prophet had conquered Mecca, Fath Mecca, the Mecca was now conquered, and the Arabian Peninsula accepted Islam, and all the various tribes, all of them accepted Islam, and Tawheed spread, and safety spread, peace and security spread. In the month of Dhul Qa'dah, in the 10th year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he announced to the people his desire to make his Hajj and go to Mecca. And so when the tribes heard this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making Hajj and he's going to be traveling from Medina to Mecca, then the tribes started coming to Al-Madinah, because all of them want to take part in this journey with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so many, many tribes came to Al-Madinah, and other tribes from their areas, they went directly to Mecca because Mecca was closest to them. And then towards the end of Dhul Qa'dah, some of the ulama said when only 4 nights remained or 5 nights remained from Dhul Qa'dah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he then made his decision that I'm going today. And this was on a Saturday. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he left Al-Madinah after Salatul Dhuhr. And the scholars of history, they mention that 100,000 Muslims went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for this Hajj. Many of them going with the Prophet from Medina to Mecca, and some of them already in Mecca. And some of the ulama even mention that it was over 140,000 Muslims who performed Hajjatul Wida' along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so when the Prophet and all these Muslims left Al-Madinah, of course somebody had to still remain behind in Al-Madinah, because there's old people there, there are ill people there, there are children there are women there. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he left Abu Dujana Al-Sa'di Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu as the Amir of Al-Madinah. just in case something happens, he is there. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left on the 25th or the 26th of Dhul-Qi'dah, and it was a Saturday, and he left Al-Madina after Salat al-Dhuhr, and he reached Dhul-Hulayfa, which is where people put on the Ihram, which is now known as Abyari Ali, but it is Dhul-Hulayfa, just before Asr. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed Salat al-Asr Raka'atain, because now he was in a journey, and he placed on his Ihram, and the rest of the people did so. And then when he left Dhul-Hulayfa, then he said the Talbiyah, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik La Sharika Laka Labbaik, Innal Hamda Wal Ni'mata Laka Wal Mulk, La Sharika Lak. And he continued saying the Talbiyah until he reached Mecca. When he reached Mecca with this great number of Muslims, then he first went to the Kaaba, and he made Tawaf 7 rounds around the Kaaba, and then he touched or he kissed the black stone, and then he prayed his 2 raka'at in front of or behind Maqam Ibrahim, and then he drank from the water of Zamzam, and then he did Sa'i between As-Safa and Al-Marwa, meaning he did the Umrah like we do Umrah today. So our Umrah which we do today and our Hajj which we do today, all of it is from the Hajjatul Wida'. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to do something and then he would say to the people, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, learn your rituals from me. فَعَسَىٰ أَلِّي لَا أَرَاكُمْ بَعْدَ عَامِ هَذَا, because maybe after this year I will not see you again. And then in the 8th day of Dhul Hijjah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Mina like the Hujjaj do, and he remained there for the night. And then on the 9th day of Dhul Hijjah, he went to Arafah. And in Arafah, he prayed Dhuhr and he prayed Asr. He combined them and he shortened them, both of them at the time of Dhuhr. And then he gave the sermon to the people, because in Yom Arafah, there is the sermon of Arafah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave his famous sermon, which is called Khutbatul Wida', the farewell sermon. Because it was the last sermon with such a great gathering of Muslims. And then after he gave the sermon, then he turned towards the Qibla and he remained standing, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the sun was setting, like the Hujjaj do today. And whilst he stood towards the Qibla, making dua, just after Dhuhr all the way to Maghrib, he kept pointing to the people. And the ulama, they mention, or the narrators, they mention that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he'd point to the people like this with his right hand and say, Ayyuhan nas as-sakina as-sakina. Oh people, be calm. Oh people, be calm. Because there's 100,000 people. So he was telling the people to be calm. And then after this, when the sun was had setted, he went to Muzdalifah with the rest of the people. And when he got to Al-Muzdalifah, he prayed Maghrib and Isha together at the time of Isha, and also he shortened both of them. And he remained the night there with the rest of the people. Then after this, he went to Mina for 3 nights, and he did the various actions of Ramya al-Jamarat and slaughtering the animal, shaving the head, Tawaf al-Ifada, and so on and so forth. And that famous hadith, if any of you have heard, when the Prophet said, if'al wala haraj, if'al wala haraj, do and there is no problem, do and there is no problem. This was when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mina, different people were coming to the Prophet. And some of them would say, oh Messenger of Allah, I've done this action on this day, but I haven't done this action. Meaning, I've done my tawaf, but I haven't slaughtered my animal. I've thrown the jamarat, I've thrown the stones at the pillars, but I haven't slaughtered the animal. I've shaved my head, but I haven't done this. And the Prophet said to each one, if'al wala haraj, do and there is no problem. And this is why the ulama say that in those days, there is no sequence for doing tawaf al-ifadah and throwing the stones at the pillars and sorting the animal and so on and so forth. It can be done in any order, because every time a person came to the Prophet and complained, I did this, I haven't done this yet, the Prophet said, if'al wala haraj, do and there is no problem. And then after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went to Mecca and he stayed for 10 days or 10 nights in Mecca. And then after the 10 nights in Mecca, he returned back to Al-Madinah. And he returned back to Al-Madinah, and after he never returned back to Mecca, because only a few weeks later he died sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also one of the important events which occurred during Hajjatul Wida is Khutbatul Wida, the farewell sermon which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave in front of 140,000 odd Muslims. And a person might ask that, of course, at that time there was no speakers, there were no microphones. So how did the people hear the khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? At the time of the Salaf, what used to happen is that the teacher would say something, and then a few rows later, somebody would repeat what the teacher said. And then a few rows back, the next person would repeat what that person has repeated. And like this, it would be repeated and repeated until it reached the last person. So for example, Al-Imam Ahmad, 5,000 people used to attend his lessons. Al-Imam Malik, hundreds of people used to attend his lessons. And this is how they were carried out. There were repeaters who would repeat. And it has been mentioned that one of the companions called Rabi'a ibn Umayyah ibn Khalaf, he was one of those people who would repeat the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, some of the narrations mention a miracle. And that is that the people who were scattered all over, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to hear the sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this has been narrated by Abdurrahman ibn Mu'adh al-Taymi, who said, خَطَبَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam وَنَحْنُ بِمِنَا, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was giving his khutbah and we were in Mina. فَفُتِحَتْ أَسْمَاعُنَا, and so our hearing was open, حَتَّى نَسْمَعُ مَا يَقُولُ, until we heard what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was saying. And this was a miracle which Allah gave the Prophet on that day. The khutbatul wida, the farewell sermon which the Prophet gave, is a lengthy sermon, and it isn't all mentioned in a single narration or a single hadith, because different companions, they memorize different parts of the khutbah. So the khutbatul wida is mentioned over various different narrations, different parts in different narrations. And I'll try to summarize and paraphrase some of the khutbah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after Dhuhr, he turned to the people on Yawm Arafah. He said, Ayyuhan Nas, O people, Isma'u Qawli, listen to my statement. And this is in Sahih Muslim. فَإِنِّي لَا أَدْرِي لَعَلِّي لَا أَلْقَاكُمْ بَعْدَ عَامِي هَذَا بِهَذَا الْمَوْقِفْ أَبَدًا. He said, I do not know whether I will meet you again after this year in this place. Ayyuhan Nas, O people, إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ حَرَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. O people, your blood, your property, your wealth, your life, this is haram between you. And the meaning of haram, meaning you're not allowed to touch it. I, as Muslims, we're not allowed to touch the property of another Muslim. And we're not allowed to touch the blood, meaning take the life of another Muslim. We're not allowed to oppress another Muslim. Just like alcohol is haram, and we're not allowed to touch it, then we're not allowed to touch each other's wealth in terms of stealing and theft and oppression. Also, the meaning of haram from hurma. And the meaning of hurma is sacred. So our property between each other and our blood and our lives, it is sacred between us. We cannot touch it, neither can we allow anybody else to touch it. He said, كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا. That, O people, your lives and your property and wealth is sacred between you, just like this month is sacred, and this day is sacred, and this place is sacred. And remember, where was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam standing? In Arafah, the sacred place. And which month was it? Dhul Hijjah, one of the sacred months. And which day was it? Yawm Arafah, one of the most sacred days. And Umar radiallahu anhu said it was also a Friday. So just as all of this is sacred, And the people used to appreciate when Makkah, when Arafah, it's Dhul Hijjah, it's sacred. The Prophet said, just as this is sacred, then also your property and your life and your blood is sacred. وَإِنَّكُمْ سَتَلْقَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ. And then he said, O people, one day you will meet your Lord. Meaning on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you will stand in front of Allah. فَيَسْأَلُكُمْ عَنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. And he will question you about your actions. Did you fulfill the obligations? And did you do haram? وَقَدْ بَلَّغْتُ. And I have conveyed. The message which I needed to give you, I have given you that message. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ عِنْدَهُ أَمَانَةً. So whoever has a trust with him, فَلْيُؤَدِّهَا إِلَى مَنْ اِتَّمَنُهُ عَلَيْهَا. Then fulfill that trust and repay that trust to the person who gave you that trust. Meaning, if somebody says to you, here's £500, just keep it safe for me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi was saying, if you have been given a trust, you have to keep that trust safe. You have to safeguard it and you have to repay that trust. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أيها الناس, O people, أَلَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مِّنْ أَمْرِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ تَحْتَ قَدَمِي مَوْضُوعٍ. He said, verily, every dispute from the days of Jahiliyyah, it is now beneath my feet and it is finished. Because in times of Jahiliyyah, the tribe used to kill each other, then they used to seek blood money, and there were honor killings, and it carried on like this. And it had to stop somewhere. And even though some of the tribes might have accepted Islam, but they still harbored, but that tribe owes us money and that tribe owes us blood and so on and so forth. So on this blessed day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he finished all of that. He said all of these actions of Jahiliyyah and all of these disputes from Jahiliyyah, they are beneath my feet. From today onwards, all of it is forgiven between you and everything is finished. He said, وَدِمَاءُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ مَوْضُوعَ. And also the blood of Jahiliyyah, i.e. the honor killings and the blood money and the retribution, all of it is finished from this day onwards. And he said, وَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ دَمٍ أَضَعُ مِنْ دِمَائِنَا دَمُبْنِي رَبِيعَةِ بْنُ الْحَارِثِ بْنُ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. And he said that the first blood that we're going to finish, i.e. the revenge, is the blood of Ibn Rabi'a Ibn al-Harith Ibn Abd al-Muttalib, i.e. one of the nephews or the cousins of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And An-Nawawi mentioned that this was a person from Bani Sa'ad who was killed by the tribe of Hudhayl. And he was from the Quraysh. So the Prophet set an example that the first blood I'm going to finish is what is owed to us, the Quraysh. It's finished. After today, there is no more retribution. And then he said, أيها الناس, O people, وَإِنَّ رِبَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ مَوْضُوعٍ. And also the riba, the interest, which people used to charge each other from the days of Jahiliyyah, it is finished. Because even though people had accepted Islam, but there were still loans amongst each other. And these loans had been taken out in those days with interest. So somebody would say that, can I loan 1,000 dirham? And he would say, you can have 1,000 dirham, but you need to pay me back 1,500 dirham. So that loan remained with the interest. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that those dealings of interest from now on finished under my feet and it does not occur again. All of that interest is forgiven. Repay your loan, but not the interest. And then he said, وَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ رِبَا أَضَعْ تَحْتَ قَدَمِي. And the first riba which I place under my feet is the riba of Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Is the riba of my own uncle. Because his uncle Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, people owed him money and there was interest for him. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made an example from his own family first. That this is the first interest which I am wiping away. فَإِنَّهُ مَوْضُوعٌ كُلُّهُ. All riba has now been wiped away. Then the Prophet said to the people, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. Fear Allah when it comes to the right of the women. Be mindful of Allah when it comes to the rights of the women, i.e. wives. فَإِنَّكُمْ أَخَذْتُمُوهُنَّ بِأَمَانِ اللَّهِ. Because you have taken them, i.e. under your guardianship, as your wives, under the trust from Allah. وَاسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ فُرُوجَهُنَّ بِكَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ. And the desires have become permitted for you now due to a word from Allah. Meaning when you make nikah and you say Bismillah and I accept and there's witnesses, it's a word of Allah that you have with you to make this, these actions permit, these relationships permitted. وَلَكُمْ عَلَيْهِنَّ أَلَّا يُطِئْنَ فُرُوشَكُمْ أَحَدًا تَكْرَهُونَ. And your right upon the women is that they do not enter into your house somebody that you do not like. Somebody that you don't like and you don't want to enter into your house, your right upon the your wives is that they're not allowed to enter those people into your house without your permission. And then the Prophet said, فَإِنْ فَعَلْنَا ذَلِكَ. And if they give you your right, فَضْرِبُوهُنَّ ضَرْبًا غَيْرَ مُبَرِّحٍ. And then the Prophet said, وَلَهُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Then their right upon you is that you have to feed them and you have to clothe them and it has to be done well. And then the Prophet said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, قَدْ تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ, I have left behind مَا لَن تَضِلُّوا بَعْدَهُ إِنْ اِعْتَصَمْتُمْ بِهِ. I have left behind something that if you hold on to this thing, you will never be misguided after me. Kitab Allah, the book of Allah. And in the narration of Ibn Ishaq, was sunnata nabiyihi, and the sunnah of his prophet. And then he said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, إِنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. O people, there is no prophet after me. وَلَا أُمَّةَ بَعْدَكُمْ. And there is no ummah which is after you. أَلَا فَعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. So verily, worship your Lord alone. وَصَلُّوا خَمْسَكُمْ. And pray your five prayers. وَصُومُوا شَهْرَكُمْ. And fast your month. وَأَدُّوا زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِكُمْ. And give the zakah of your wealth. طَيِّبَةً بِهَا نُفُوسَكُمْ. From the goodness of your own selves. وَتَحُجُّونَ بَيْتَ رَبِّكُمْ. And perform the hajj to the blessed house. وَأَطِيعُوا أُولَاتِ أَمْرِكُمْ. And obey the rulers who have authority over you. تَدْخُلُوا جَنَّةَ رَبِّكُمْ. And if you do this, you'll enter into the Jannah of your Lord. And then the Prophet said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ قَدْ يَأِسَ مِنْ أَنْ يُعْبَدْ بِأَرْضِكُمْ هَذَا. That verily Shaytan has lost hope that he will ever be worshipped in this land of yours, i.e. the Jazeera. But he loves to cause problems between you. التَّحَرِيشْ بَيْنَكُمْ. He loves to cause fitna and dispute amongst you. فَحْذَرُوهُ عَلَىٰ دِينِكُمْ. So be cautious of Shaytan when it comes to your religion. And then the Prophet said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, اسْمَعُوا قَوْلِي وَعْقِلُوا. Listen to my statement and understand it well. تَعْلَمُنَّ أَنَّ كُلَّ مُسْلِمٍ أَخُ مُسْلِمٍ. You should know that each Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. وَأَنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أُخْوَةٌ. And that the Muslim are only brothers to each other. فَلَا يَحِلُّ لِمْرِئٍ مِّنْ أَخِيهِ إِلَّا مَا أَعْطَاهُ عَنْ طِيبِ نَفْسِهِ مِّنْ. And it isn't allowed for one Muslim to take from another Muslim except that which that Muslim gives to him from his own self. فَلَا تَظْلِمُنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. So don't oppress each other. Don't wrong each other. Don't make fitna between each other. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, اسمعوا وأطيعوا. Listen and obey. Meaning those who have authority over you. وَإِنْ أُمِّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ حَبَشِي. Even if an Abyssinian slave becomes your ruler, you have to hear and obey. And then also the Prophet said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ وَاحِدٌ. Verily all of you, your Lord is one. And remember, 140,000 Muslims, and there's blacks, and there's whites, and there's Arabs, and there's non-Arabs, and there's high lineage and low lineage, and men and women, old and young, those who are of noble lineage, those who are of lowly lineage. The Prophet turned to all of them. He said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ وَاحِدٌ. O people, all of you, your Lord is one. وَإِنَّ أَبَاكُمْ وَاحِدٌ. And also your father is one. كُلُّكُمْ لِآدَمْ. Because all of you came from Adam. وَآدَمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. And Adam came from the same soil. So also in this khutbah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did away with racism. And he did away with oppressing women. So when the kuffar talk about women's rights and kicking out racism, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did that over 1430 odd years. So it's nothing new to Islam. And then the Prophet said, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Verily, the best of you with Allah is the one who is the most pious. La fadla li arabin ala ajami. There is no virtue for the Arab over the non-Arab. Wala li ajamin ala arabi. And there is no virtue for the non-Arab over the Arab. Wala li abyada ala aswad. And there is no virtue for the white over the black. Wala li aswada ala abyad. And there is no virtue for the black man over the white. Illa bittaqwa. Except by the taqwa of Allah. And then the Prophet turned to the people and he said, وَأَنْتُمْ تُسْأَلُونَ عَنِّي. And you will be questioned about me. فَمَا أَنْتُمْ قَائِلُونَ عَنِّي. So what will you say regarding me? Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to the people that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu, he's going to ask you about me as your Prophet. Allah is going to ask the people that did this man Muhammad, did he convey the message to you? Because Allah cannot punish, or Allah does not punish a person if the message hasn't come to that person. So Allah will ask the people, and Allah will also ask the prophets and the messengers. And this is in the ayah in which Allah said, فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Allah said, verily, we will question those to whom the prophets were sent, i.e. us, and we will also question the messengers. So each prophet will be questioned, and the people of each prophet will also be questioned. And Ibn Kathir mentions that each prophet will be questioned, did you convey the message? And each people will be questioned that did the prophet convey the message to you? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Antum tus'aluna anni." That all of you are going to be questioned on Yawm al-Qiyamah regarding me. Did I convey the message? فَمَا أَنْتُمْ قَائِلُونَ. So on that day, what will you say? And the companions, all of them, they said, نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ بَلَّغْتَ وَأَدَّيْتَ وَنَصَحْتَ. They say, we bear witness today that you did convey, and you did fulfill the trust, and you did advise us. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam رَفَعَ إِصْبَعَهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he raised his index finger towards the skies, towards the heavens, i.e. upwards. وَأَشَارَ بِهَنَّا إِلَى النَّاسِ. And then he pointed to the people. And the Prophet did this three times. He pointed up, then he pointed to the people like this. And he said, Allahumma shahad, O Allah, bear witness. And then again, O Allah, bear witness. And then again, O Allah, bear witness. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he pointed to those who are upon the earth, he pointed towards them. And when he pointed to the one who is above the heavens, he pointed upwards. And this is one of the evidences that Allah is above and He is not everywhere. And then the khutbah with this, it finished. And then the ayah revealed. The ayah was revealed, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. On this day, I have completed for you your religion. Wa atmamtum alaykum ni'mati. And I have completed my blessing and my favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. And I have chosen Islam to be your religion. So this ayah was revealed, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was standing on the plains of Arafah, and it was on the day of Arafah, and it was a Friday, and it was Dhul Hijjah. Later on, a Yahudi came to Umar radiallahu anhu. This was later after the Prophet had died. And he said to Umar, Ya Umar, there is an ayah in your book. Had this ayah been revealed to us, that day would be an Eid to us. I.e. the ayah, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, verily we know which day it was, and where it was, and what time it was. It was in Arafah, on the day of Arafah, and the Prophet was giving this sermon. But it wasn't taken as a day of Eid. And then this ayah was revealed, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. On this day, I have perfected for you your religion. And so the Sahaba rejoiced, and a few from amongst the Sahaba, they wept and cried, and amongst them was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, as is in Sahih al-Bukhari. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma mentions that when he saw his father Umar crying, because this ayah had been revealed, on this day I have perfected for you your religion. Everybody is rejoicing that Islam is perfect and complete. Ma yubkik ya Umar, so why are you crying, O Umar? And Umar radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَعْدَ الْكَمَالِ إِلَّا النُّقْصَانِ. That after something has been perfected, it only goes down.
Once something has been perfected, then the next step is for it to go down. I mean, now that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through him Islam has been perfected, now there's only death for him. Salawatullahi wasalamuhu alayhi, hadha wallahu a'lam, sallallahu ala nabiyyina wasallam.